You'll be relieved to know that Slim didn't leave us in Leonard's saddle shop. He stood outside a moment, then stuck his head back inside.
Leonard, maybe you'd better tell me where this place is located.
Leonard snapped his fingers and strode over to the counter and dashed off some directions. He handed them to Slim and pushed him out the door again. When Slim was gone, he shook his head and sighed. That boy's got tar in his veins. Just then, he saw us sitting by the stove. He ran to the door. Hey, you forgot your dogs. Slim shrugged, turned around, and came back inside.
Well, you're so dadgum pushy, you made me forget. Come on, dogs. We'll take our business somewheres else.
Right. You take your business to my worst enemy. We dogs went slinking past him. We slank, whatever, because we didn't trust the guy. Sure enough, as we went by, he made kind of a monkey face at me. I growled and sprinted out the door. Outside on the street, Slim looked up at the winter clouds and heaved a deep sigh.
Boys, I've sunk about as low as a cowboy can sink. I sure wish I had my old job back.
He shoved his hands into his pockets, kicked a rock out into the street, and we trudged back up the hill to the pickup. We dogs loaded into the back, and Slim drove to a little grocery store down the street. He emerged 15 minutes later, carrying a sack of groceries in one arm and a sack of dog food in the other, and we resumed our journey. Slim found Leonard's place in the country, but it wasn't so easy. It was north and east of town, out in the middle of that heavy tamarack brush in the old river bottom. To reach it, we followed a winding two-track trail through the brush, and when the trail ended, we were there. Slim got out and turned up the collar of his jacket. The wind had shifted to the north. Gray clouds had moved overhead, and there was a feel of snow in the air. He dug his hands into his pockets and walked to the house. The trailer. The cute little camper trailer. It resembled a tin can on two wheels, and both tires were flat. A long yellow extension cord ran from a utility pole through a hole in the side and into the house. That appeared to be the electrical service. The trailer was blue or green. It was some faded color between blue and green, but mostly it was faded. Oh, and someone had cut a hole in the roof and run a joint of stovepipe out the top. A hint that it was heated with a wood-burning stove. The trailer sat in a grove of chinaberry trees. The porch consisted of a sheet of plywood perched on four cinder blocks. It wasn't much of a porch, and I certainly hoped that Slim didn't plan on us dogs sleeping on it. Leonard's horse pen was off to the west. It appeared that he had set up 8 or 10 portable corral panels, tied them to chinaberry trees with baling wire, and put his haystack on the north side as a windbreak. Inside the pen stood a big bay horse. When he heard us coming, he turned his head for a moment, stared at us dogs, then went back to eating his alfalfa hay. I mean, no hello, no greeting, no welcome to the place. I had a feeling that this horse and I weren't going to be pals. Slim opened the door of the trailer and went inside and put his sack of groceries on the counter. He didn't exactly invite us to join him, but he didn't tell us we couldn't, so if they don't say no, it means yes, right? We managed to slither through his legs and make our way inside. It was small, very small. On the west side, there was a little refrigerator and gas cooking stove, and the east wall was taken up by a couch, which probably served as the bed, since there wasn't any room for a bed.
Yes, it was the vet. Had to be. In the middle of the room sat the wood stove and one chair, and that was about it. Slim ran his eyes around the place and said, "Well, it beats living in the pickup, I reckon." We went back outside and followed Slim on a slow trudge to the place where he would be working for the next few days, the chicken house. No doubt it had once been a pretty nice affair, but time had taken its toll. The white paint and red trim had faded and cracked. The wood shingles on the roof had buckled, and the chicken yard had grown up in tall weeds. Slim opened the door and peeked inside. So did I. My goodness, on the dirt floor beneath the roosts, there was a whole mountain range of something that smelled really bad. Slim slumped against the wall and fanned the fumes away from his face. "Good honk. 5 tons of chicken manure." He blinked his eyes several times and heaved a sigh. "Well, I might as well get started. I'm just glad my cowboy friends can't see me now." He found the wheelbarrow and shovel and went to work. He parked the wheelbarrow in the chicken house door and shoveled it full, then pushed it out to the edge of the tamaracks and dumped it. Then back to the chicken house for another load. Back and forth, until the sun went down. When it got too dark for work, he parked the wheelbarrow and went to the house. It had started snowing by then, and when we reached the trailer, I was pretty sure that Slim would want us to stay inside. So once again, Drover and I were, well, plotting our rapid entry, so to speak. When Slim's hand closed around the doorknob, I was poised and ready to spring into action. I waited and watched him out of the corner of my eye. The enormous muscles in my legs were coiled like springs. The doorknob squeaked, and when I saw a shaft of light streaming through the crack in the door, I timed my jump perfectly so that he didn't open the door. He faked it, knowing full well that I would. What a dirty trick. He chuckled, but I didn't think it was very funny, not at all. I looked up at him and gave him puzzled wags on the tail section. "Hank, you've just about knocked me down 3 times today, squirting through doors. And maybe you'd better stay outside and think about your manners. Besides, this tin can ain't big enough for 3 of us. Drover and I traded glances. I gave him the sign to switch over to tragic eyes. He did, and I did. And in a matter of mere seconds, we had switched all circuits over to tragic eyes, disappointed ears, and mournful wags. We beamed these earnest messages to Slim in hopes that, "No, you can't make me feel guilty. I'm grippy and cold-hearted, and I've been scooping chicken hockey for the last 3 hours, and I ain't in my usual sweet frame of mind. Y'all just spend the night out here on the porch. Nighty-night." And with that, he went into the trailer and slammed the door in our faces, leaving us alone with our broken hearts. Oh, and with a bunch of snowflakes, too. I turned to Drover. What a heartless cad he turned out to be. "Yeah, I thought we did pretty well with tragic eyes." "We did very well, Drover. We've never done it better, and it should have worked. I don't know what's wrong with him." "Well, I guess you tripped him a couple of times today going through doors. I saw it myself." I glared at the runt. "Well, yes, I guess you did, since you were right there beside me, pushing and shoving and being Mr. Budinsky. When you push and shove and display your terrible manners, what am I supposed to do?" "Well, I guess you could let me go first." "Let you go? Oh, brother, now I've heard everything. Let you go first? Ha! Drover, that's the... Do you have any idea what would happen if I let you go first?" "Well, let me think. He rolled his eyes around. Nope, I don't know. I'll tell you. I stood up and began pacing back and forth on the tiny plywood porch. If I started allowing you to enter houses before me, it would corrupt you in small but tiny ways. You'd start grabbing the best spots around the stove and the softest places on the floor. You'd get soft and flabby. You'd become a greedy, grabby little mutt, overbearing and insensitive to the needs of others. Is that what you want in this life? Well, it might be fun to try it. I stopped pacing and stared into his greedy, grabby little eyes. I can't believe you said that.
Yeah, but I did. It just popped out.
Okay, fine. If that's the way you want it, if you insist on ignoring all my efforts and sacrifices, by George, we'll just try it your way. And we'll just see what happens.
Oh, goody.
The next time this comes up, we'll turn you loose. We'll let you transform yourself into a greedy grabber. We'll let you grovel and rovel in your own corrupt behavior. We'll let you... At that very moment, my lecture was cut short by the opening of the door. Slim stepped out, booted us off the so-called porch, and spread out a saddle blanket.
There. My conscience is now clear. See you boys in the morning.
And he went back inside. The moment the door slammed behind him, and I mean the very instant, guess what happened? Drover leaped onto the blanket, staked out the very choicest spot in the middle, and flopped down. What are you doing? He gave me a silly grin.
Well, we decided to let me go first, and I did. And you know what? I kind of enjoyed it.
I stepped up on the porch and showed him some fangs. Scram! You're on my spot.
Yeah, but we said... You said...
We were talking about doors and houses, Drover. This is a blanket. Do you know the difference between a door and a blanket in a house?
Well, let me think. 17?
No, that's totally incorrect. The difference is 23, and I hope you realize the significance of that number.
I guess I don't.
There, you see? I'm sorry, Drover, but until you understand the meaning of your own meaningless behavior, I must insist on getting first dibs on all blankets. Now, move.
He groaned and grumbled, but he moved.
I took my rightful position in the middle of the blanket, circled it 3 times, and flopped down. Drover curled up on the west edge, where he continued to moan, grumble, and complain.
Everything's so complicated, and I'm cold.
Hush, Drover. It's cold only if you believe it's cold. Pretend that you're living in the desert. Good night. He curled up in a little white ball and began shivering. I tried to ignore the fact that my bed was quivering, but after a while, it began getting on my nerves. I raised my head. Will you stop shivering? How can a dog sleep when his bed feels like jello?
I can't help it. I'm freezing.
That's too bad. We've been forced to sleep outside. It's survivist of the fiddles.
Yeah, but I can't even carry a tune.
That's fine, Drover, because we're not singing. Now, go to sleep and stop shivering. And so it was that we settled in for a cold night on the porch.